And from that day on, he was seen rarely in the men at home. He was there when Lucy and Danny were married. And again, some years later, when their child was born. A girl. But his visits were short, and he'd slip away at the first opportunity. In France, during these years, the echoing footsteps of the crowd had been growing louder. Grim patriots who were to bathe the soil of France in the blood of the hated nobility. And then the storm broke in all its fury. In July 1789, they swarmed from the rat holes of Paris to cover the country with a blanket of red. An army of vengeance bent upon destruction and death.
The Bastille has fallen! The Bastille is ours! On, citizens! On!
The Bastille has fallen! Madame Defarge, how can you sit and knit so calmly on this day?
Our victory will come only when every noble head is rolled from every noble shoulder. And in this knitting, I have inscribed their names. The names of those who have starved us, killed us. And for every stitch, another head shall roll. For every stitch, we shall be avenged.
Open the door.
What do you want at this hour?
I'm looking for Mr. Sidney Carton.
The inn is not open. There's no inn in London open at this time of night.
I want to see Mr. Sidney Carton. Let me in. Now, where is he?
He's in there.
Carton. Carton. Wake up. Wake up.
Oh, who is it?
Oh. It's Donnie.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Donnie. Welcome, Mr. Donnie. You have some wine?
I've no time for that. Listen to me. I'm leaving for Paris within the hour.
Paris?
There's some business there that I must attend to at once.
Paris? Very warm this time of the year. If I were your lawyer, I should advise against the journey.
How much do you know of me?
This is an excellent wine, Mr. Donnie. French wine from the cellars of the aristocrats who fled the country. There will be few of these bottles left now. It's being poured into the streets, along with the blood of the nobles who once drank it. Must you go to Paris, Mr. Darnay?
I see there's little I have to explain to you, but I received a letter this morning from a man who was once my servant. They've threatened to send him to the guillotine unless he can explain why he's in possession of certain property. That's why I must go, to save his life.
What of your own life?
I'll be in no danger. I've renounced my inheritance. It's easily proved.
Why do you come to me?
There's no one else I can turn to. I don't know how long I shall be gone. I should like to feel that there's someone here in London who's watching over my family.
I? You trust me to watch over your child? Your wife?
Yes. I know that you love her.
When did you say you must leave?
Tonight. Now.
Have no fear about your family. They'll be safe.
Thank you, Carton. Good night.
Good night. Godspeed.
Carton, more wine, sir?
No. No, take it away.
Out! You there in the coach. Where are you going, citizen?
I'm going to Paris.
Let me see your paper.
If you'll hurry, please, citizen. I must be in Paris within the hour.
What is your name, citizen?
Charles Darnay.
Darnay! Also known as Evrémonde.
Why, yes, but I...
You are consigned, Evrémonde, to the prison of La Force.
In just a moment, our stars will return in Act Three of A Tale of Two Cities. And now, here comes our young friend Sally. My, Sally, that's a pretty corsage you're wearing.
I got it at the flower show this afternoon, Mr. Kennedy. What a lovely show it was, too. A regular preview of a spring garden. Lilies of the valley, lilacs, daffodils, narcissus, oh, and dozens of other kinds of flowers.
I can't think of anything more refreshing to see right now, Sally.
The whole air was fragrant with them. A fresh, delicate perfume you never tire of.
A fresh, delicate perfume you never tire of. Now, when you say that, Sally, you make me think of something.
Why, of course, Mr. Kennedy. The perfume of Lux toilet soap.
Sure thing, because that's just what the makers of Lux soap had in mind when they created its perfume. They knew women would enjoy delicate, subtle fragrance like the combined scent of many spring flowers.
Yes, and they do enjoy it, Mr. Kennedy. Screen stars say that's why Lux soap makes a wonderful bath soap. It leaves such a lovely, clinging fragrance on the skin.
Well, it took a lot of experimenting to make that Lux soap perfume. To be statistical, Sally, it took a blend of 34 different ingredients. It's a fragrance that's distinctive and different.
And expensive, too, I should think.
Yes, many of those ingredients are costly. But the price of Lux toilet soap is very low because so many millions of cakes are sold every year. It's a thrifty as well as a luxurious bath soap.
Here's a little trick I've discovered other women might like to know about. I slip a few cakes of Lux soap in my dresser drawer till I want to use them. They make a perfect sachet for my lingerie and handkerchiefs.
Thanks, Sally. Why don't you enjoy the luxury of this fine, fragrant white soap 9 out of 10 screen stars recommend? Use it for your daily beauty bath. Lux soap is hard milled to satin smoothness. It's economical. Each cake can be used to the last thin sliver. And now, Frank Craven returns to the microphone.
For a verbal introduction to our stars tonight, you're invited to join us after the final curtain for a brief chat. Now, Act Three of A Tale of Two Cities, starring Orson Welles as Sidney Carton and Rosemary DeCamp as Lucy Manette. The sun rises slowly over the roofs of Paris, and the long shadow of the guillotine falls against the walls of La Force prison. In the cell of the condemned, Sidney Carton speaks in a hushed voice, his story meant only for the ears of the little seamstress.
They brought Charles Darnay here to La Force prison to be held in secret. Somehow the news filtered back to England. Soon his wife and child were in Paris with Dr. Manette and Mr. Lorry.
Mr. Lorry?
Their old friend. For months, they waited for some word from Darnay in his cell, but no word came. And every day through the streets, the tumbrils passed, filled with the condemned on their last journey to the guillotine.
Father, did you see him? Did you see Charles?
No, they would not take me to his cell.
Oh.
But I have news.
Yes?
Charles is summoned tomorrow for trial.
Tomorrow? Oh, Father.
I think it will go well, my child. They're going to allow me to testify for him.
You? Why, they'll brand you a traitor. They'll kill you, Father.
No, my child. I bear a charmed life in this city. I have been a prisoner in the Bastille.
Silence! Silence! Dr. Manette, is this tribunal to understand that you endorse the accused, the prisoner Charles Evrémonde?
That is so.
He is of noble blood. He is a traitor.
He is no traitor. I will swear to it.
Dr. Manette, we know your life, the cause you fought for. You are one of us.
Yes, and as one of you I speak. The accused, Charles Evrémonde, was my first friend when I was released from the Bastille. The accused, Charles Evrémonde, is my daughter's husband. In all these years, he has had no part in the tyranny against which we fought. He has renounced his share of the estate and returned it to the people. Charles Evrémonde is no enemy of the revolution. I give you my word, he is innocent.
Free the prisoner! If the doctor of Beauvais says he is innocent, free him!
Is the jury ready to declare itself?
We are.
How say you, then?
Let the prisoner be freed.
Wait! Wait, I say! The prisoner cannot be freed!
Citizeness Defarge?
I say the prisoner still stands accused.
By whom, citizeness?
By three voices. By my husband, Ernest Defarge. By myself.
And the third?
By the doctor of Beauvais, Dr. Alexander Manette.
I protest. I protest against it.
Continue, citizeness.
Hear me, all of you. Dr. Manette, you have said Charles Evrémonde was your first friend. I was your first friend. It was to my wine shop you were brought where you made shoes under my care. You knew yourself then only as a number. 105 North Tower, the cell in which you had been confined. Is that not true?
If you say it is, I must believe it. I can't remember.
But I remembered. And I resolved one day to examine that cell And on the day the Bastille fell, I went to 105 North Tower. Hear me, citizens. In that cell, hidden in the stonework of the wall, I found a paper. A paper written by Dr. Manette in the year 1767. Before the dark and loneliness drove him mad. It is that paper I hold in my hand now. It describes, in the doctor's words, how he was called one night to attend a peasant girl dying in a miserable bed of rags. A girl and her unborn child. In the stable, her brother, with a wound in his chest, was to breathe his last before the morning. And why? Because these two creatures had protested against the noble family who held them in bondage. Had protested against the murder of the girl's father and her husband, killed by those same noble hands. The doctor buried the girl and her brother the following morning, but he had seen too much and heard too much from the lips of that dying girl. That night, the doctor was thrown into the Bastille. The noble family had silenced him forever. And the name of that family, the name of those murderers, San Evremond. Yes, San Evremond. And now hear this. Listen to the words of Dr. Alexander Manette himself. The words he wrote. I, Alexander Manette, prisoner of the Bastille, having thus set forth the causes for my imprisonment, do denounce the Marquis San Evremond and his descendants against the time when these crimes shall be answered for. I denounce them to heaven and earth.
No, no, stop.
You asked me to stop. Listen to me. I have long had the crimes of the Evremond family knitted in my register. Ask my husband, is that so?
It is so.
On the great day when the Bastille fell, I brought this paper home and we read it together, my husband and I. Ask him, is that so?
It is so.
Then I told him that I had a secret to communicate with him. I struck this bosom with these two hands as I strike it now, and I said, Defarge, I was brought up among the fishermen of the seashore, and that peasant family so injured by the Evremonds is my family. That sister of the mortally wounded boy was my sister. That husband was my sister's husband. That unborn child was their child. That brother was my brother. Those dead are my dead. And that summons to answer for those things descends to me. Ask him, is that so?
It is so.
Then tell wind and fire to stop. But don't tell me. What say you, citizen? Does this Evremond go free?
Back to the prison of La Force to await death by the guillotine. That was the sentence passed by the tribunal. That same night, a coach left Calais for Paris, carrying but one passenger slouched low in his seat, his shabby greatcoat pulled high about his neck. Reaching Paris, he haunted the inns and taverns, wandered like a lonely ghost through the city, and at last made his way to the lodging house where Lucy waited news from La Force.
Sidney. Sidney Carton.
You must forgive my coming at this hour. I didn't wish to be seen.
I knew you'd come. I've been waiting. Sidney, they're going to take Charles. They're going to kill him.
How long has he?
Until the morning. And they won't let me see him. I can't be near him in these last hours.
Lucy, remember what you said. Long ago, the dark hours before the dawn.
There'll be no dawn tomorrow. It'll be dark now, always.
Lucy, if there was some way I could comfort you, you must hope.
What hope is there? What comfort? My husband is going to die.
Lucy.
Oh, Sidney, forgive me.
You were right. I have no strength to offer you.
You came to us tonight. I shall never forget that.
I had to tell you you, it is useless to speak to Dr. Manette. He's in no condition to see you now.
Mr. Lorry, if you will forgive
me... There is nothing you can do here, Mr. Carter, nothing.
Mr. Lorry, you are a man of business, are you not?
I am.
Well, I am here on business.
Really,
I know
sir.
Your opinion of me, Mr. Lorry. But a drinking fellow may learn things around the town, if he can listen at the same time. I've learned that Dr. Manette is in great danger. He and Lucy must leave Paris tonight.
Leave Paris?
And they must take the child with them.
But why?
The revenge of Madame Defarge does not stop with Charles. The accusation is against the Marquis of Saint-Evremond and all his race.
Lucy, her child.
Now may I see Dr. Manette?
It would do no good, sir. He's gone back to his work.
His work?
He would not know what you are saying, Mr. Carton.
Mr. Lorry, you have a pass that will let you through to Calais. Will it serve for Dr. Manette and Lucy?
Yes, for as many as are with me.
Then you'll use it tonight. You'll arrange for a coach to meet you all here at midnight. The coach will take you to the side gate of La Force prison. Do you understand?
The prison?
There you will be joined by another person who will make the trip with you to England.
What time?
You will not stop to ask questions. You'll proceed at once to the gates of Paris and on to Calais, as fast as the coach can take you.
But this other person, who would it be?
Who? Mr. Sidney Carton.
I don't understand.
I may be in poor condition for travel. I usually am at that hour, but as soon as I'm in the coach, drive on.
But you, at the gate of La Force, will you be within the prison tonight?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to see Charles. A certain Mr. Barsad, English spy, is a turnkey in the prison. He'll open the doors for me.
Oh, I don't understand all this, sir, but you give me hope.
And you will save them all, Mr. Lorry.
Not only I, sir, I shall have a young and ardent man at my side.
With the help of heaven, you shall. Tell me, Mr. Lorry, yours is a long life to look back on.
I'm in my 78th year, sir.
You've been useful all your life, trusted, respected. There are many in this world who would miss you.
A solitary old bachelor? No, there is nobody to weep for me.
Wouldn't she weep for you?
Lucy? Yes, thank God. I didn't quite mean what I said.
It is a thing to thank God for, isn't it?
Surely. Surely.
If you had to say with truth tonight, I have gained the love of no human creature. I've done nothing good nor serviceable to be remembered by. Your 78 years would be 78 heavy curses, would they not?
I think they would be. You are not old, Carton.
No. I'm not old. But the road I took was never the way to age. Good night, Mr. Lorry. How long before Darnay is taken from his cell, put with the others?
I can't tell that. Perhaps only an hour now.
Leave us alone. Stay within call.
You keep your promise. I told you that I could get you in and out again. But for you
yes,
both to try to
I
leave...
I know. Open the door.
Who's there? Have you come for...
Carton, you!
Of all the people on Earth, I am the least expected. Is that it?
Why are you here? You shouldn't have taken the risk. It can serve no purpose.
It can serve one. I bring you a message from Lucy, a request, rather, that you do exactly as I say and ask no questions. Take off your coat.
Take off
yes,
my...
Yes, take it off and change it for mine. Quickly now, man.
Are you mad?
Do as I say. It's her wish. Put on my coat. Your hair. Rumple it so, as mine is.
Carton, there's no escaping from this place. You'll only die with me.
Have I mentioned escape? Do as I say. Now take my cravat. Here, give me yours.
Carton, I warn you, it's...
Be quiet. Look, there are pen and ink on that table. Is your hand steady enough to write?
It was when you came in.
Well, steady it then. And write what I dictate. Quickly now.
To whom do I address it?
To no one. Write. If you remember the words that passed between us long ago, you will understand... When you see this. Have you written that?
I don't... What vapor is that?
Vapor?
This is a strange vapor, something that crossed me.
I am not conscious of it. Take up the pen and finish. I told you once that there was nothing that I would not do.
Nothing that I would not...
What is it?
There is something. That odor...
You mean this on my handkerchief?
Yes, it's old, so...
Breathe deeply.
No.
Breathe.
I can't...
Breathe. You down there, Barsad.
Are you finished? Are you ready to... Oh, what's this? What's the matter with him?
Nothing. He's unconscious. Carry him out of the gate.
But you changed clothes.
Listen to me. Sidney Carton fainted from the shock of parting with an old friend. You'll find a coach at the side gate. Put him into it. Tell them to drive as fast as they can to Calais. No, wait. I'll finish this note.
If you remember the words that passed between us, you will understand. I told you once that there was nothing I would not do to keep a life you love beside you. God bless you for your sweet compassion. Here, take this note and hurry.
Go there, move. Where are you going?
To Kelly.
Who are you?
Jarvis Lorry from Tesson's Bank.
Past.
Dr. Manette.
Past.
His daughter.
Past.
His grandchild.
Who's that on the floor?
He is Mr. Sidney Carton.
Miss him. Sidney Carton, eh? Past. Open the gate. Let this coach go through.
They're on their way now. Perhaps by this time, they've reached Calais. Are bound for England and home.
And you. You are Sidney Carton.
Oh, yes.
And you're dying for him. For Charles Darnay.
Oh, no. For someone else.
Aristocrats, your carriage is awaiting. Six tumbrils will carry the day's wine to Madame la Guillotine. Guards, take them out. You, Evremonde. It will be as I promised for you. You shall wait for the last tumbril. Your head shall be the 52nd today.
I'm ready.
Move along there. Move along.
Mr. Carton, may I go with you?
Keep your eyes on me, child. Mind nothing else.
I mind nothing while I hold your hand.
A far, far better thing that I do than I've ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I've ever known.
52!
We lower our curtain on the roaring crowds of Paris and the sacrificial destiny of Sidney Carton and raise it again on the stars who have made tonight's performance such a vivid memory. Orson Welles and Rosemary DeCamp.
Well, Frank, it was a real privilege to be cast as Sidney Carton and to play opposite Rosemary.
Thank you, Orson.
Orson, I understand that to your many attributes of writer, actor, producer, and magician, you've added a new one, journalism.
That's right, Frank. I've got a newspaper column running now called Orson Welles' Almanac.
Yeah, I know. I have a copy here.
Full of biting witticisms, I imagine, Frank.
Well, it depends upon what you call biting witticisms. It starts with the following items. Never salt turnips while cooking. Always wash spinach with warm water.
Orson, aren't you afraid you'll start a social revolution with those radical ideas?
And the final item in the column is as follows. Always use Lux toilet soap for the complexion.
Now, wait a minute. I've been sabotaged.
Oh, no, you haven't, Orson. That's the best advice that you could give to any girl who wants to look her best.
And I can see it's the advice you follow, Rosemary. Tell us, what was your first bit of acting in the theater?
The very first? I was a bunny in an Easter pageant.
The original female Harvey, hmm?
Were you ever a rabbit, Orson?
Well, if he hasn't been, just give him time. He'll get around to it.
Well, as a matter of fact, when I was five, I impersonated Peter Rabbit in Marshall Field's department store.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Well, anytime you two want to be rabbits here in Lux, we'll lay in a supply of carrots.
Thanks. What do you have for Lux next Monday night, Frank?
For next Monday night, we have a deeply moving play that brings us some of America's best-loved music. It's the 20th Century Fox hit, Swanee River, and the story of that brilliant, colorful composer, Stephen Foster, whose life of romance brought us such immortal songs as Old Kentucky Home, Susanna, Jeannie with the light brown hair, Old Folks at Home, and many others.
Whom do you have in the cast, Frank?
Well, for this special occasion, we have a gentleman whose billing always read, The World's Greatest Entertainer, Al Jolson. co-starred with the ever-popular Dennis Morgan and the lovely Frances Gibbon.
Well, that sounds like a great combination, Frank. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and happy Easter to you. And now, a brief reminder from Uncle Sam that to the millions of American men and women overseas, nothing is more important than mail from home. Write often. Make your letters cheerful. And be sure to use V-mail. V-mail is private, speedy, safer, and it helps to lighten the burden of delivery. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Dennis Morgan, Al Jolson, and Frances Gifford in Swanee River. This is Frank Craven saying thanks for listening and good night.
Frank Craven will soon appear in the 20th Century Fox 30th anniversary production, Colonel Effingham's Raid. Orson Welles, currently working in the international picture Tomorrow is Forever, can be heard on This Is My Best every Tuesday over this network. Rosemary DeCamp will soon be seen in the Warner Brothers picture, Pride of the Marines. Heard in tonight's play were Dennis Green as Charles Darnay, Griff Parnett as Dr. Manette, Verna Felton as Madame Defarge, Norman Field as Laurie, and Ken Christie, Charles Seal, Loreen Tuttle, Ferdinand Munier, Jay Novello, Robert Regent, Eric Snowden, Boyd Davis, Paul McVeigh, Alec Harford, Thomas Mills, Regina Wallace, Virginia Gordon, and Herb Litton. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This program is broadcast to our fighting forces overseas through cooperation with the Armed Forces Radio Service. Our Lux Radio Theater production of A Tale of Two Cities has come to you with the good wishes of the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, the beauty care that 9 out of 10 Hollywood screen stars use. This is your announcer, John M. Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear Swanee River with Al Jolson, Dennis Morgan, and Frances Gifford.